So over the few days that we have together, I'll be giving instructions from the Anapanasati Sutta. Anapanasati simply means mindfulness with breathing. So in the sutta, there are four sections. The first is mindfulness of the body. And in that section, we generally use mindfulness of the breath as our object of meditation. The second section is mindfulness of Vedana, the feeling tone of each contact through the sense doors. So it's the very initial feeling tone we have about something, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or in between. And the next foundation of mindfulness, the third foundation of mindfulness, is mindfulness of mind states or mental formations. Can we have the Hebrew for mental formations, please? Okay, great, thank you. Just so that it's clear, mental formations are all that we think, are our views, our ideas, our opinions, any kind of mental fabrication or formation. Sometimes, of course, we wake up in the morning and the mind feels rather dull. So in this section, there'll be instructions on experiencing the mind, gladdening the mind, concentrating the mind, and liberating the mind. And then as we go on, in the fourth foundation of mindfulness, there are four rather wonderful reflections, and their reflections on the Dharma teachings. The fourth foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of the Dharma, meaning mindfulness of the teachings of awakening. Dharma also means all things. And so, in essence, in this particular sutta, the reflections are on impermanence. The next reflection is on what's called fading away, and it particularly refers to the fading away of our desires or attachments, and hopefully also the fading away of our suffering. And the next in that section is cessation, the endings of things, and the final 16th one is relinquishment or letting go. So today we're going to begin with the first foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of the body. Now, the reason we take the body as our object of attention is that it's in our direct experience that our suffering occurs, and it's also in our direct experience that we find our freedom. So in this section, we simply use the breath and pay attention to the breath. So it's mindfulness of breathing. Now, what we're going to do is, in each of these four foundations, there's four couplets, four little two-line intentions. Now, the first two we can do together. It's rather simple. The first instruction simply says, breathing in, one understands, I breathe in long. Breathing out, one understands, I breathe out long. Now, that's not hard. We can all do that. So, in other words, we let the breath be as it is, and we just notice if the breath is long. Or the next instruction is breathing in, one understands the breath is short. Breathing out, one understands the breath is short. So these first two instructions are really done together because we are simply asked to notice whether the breath is long or short. That's all. And we don't let that be a big deal or a problem. We don't make anything of it. It is simply comprehending or understanding what's happening. And this is an instruction that just tunes us in, allows us to become accustomed to what's going on. We simply notice. We simply notice how we are breathing and whether it's long or short. Of course, as we begin to pay attention to the breath, you will also notice many other things. We'll notice whether the breath is even or uneven. We'll notice sometimes that the in-breath seems perhaps rather long and the out-breath much quicker, or even the other way round. So each breath is new, each breath is different. We're not being asked at this point to change the breath, to deliberately make it longer or shorter, but simply to just check in and let the breath be as it is, and then just notice how it is. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say the instruction, and then I'm going to ask you just to sit for a really short time, 3 minutes. And the reason I choose 3 minutes is that absolutely everybody can sit for 3 minutes. It takes the pressure off. You're not sitting for 45, just 3. And we can all do that. So we simply sit rather still and we observe what's happening. And we observe what's happening with a sense of curiosity, interest. We're really checking it out, as if we've never really noticed how we breathe before. But so with that kind of enthusiasm. In fact, the instruction in the Anapanasati Sutta is to meditate mindfully with awareness, but with full awareness actually, but also ardently. And ardently in English means with enthusiasm. So we're curious. We're not just sitting there going, ah, when will the bell ring? We're really looking as if we've never really paid attention to what's going on. So as if each breath is totally new. This moment has never happened before. So we look with that sort of interest. So let's begin. Let's do it right now. So breathing in, understanding if the breath is long or short. Breathing out, understanding if the breath is long or short. No need to repeat the instructions, simply doing it. So what did you discover when you set the intention of paying attention and just checking out if the breath was long or short? Anybody? What happened? Nothing at all. Oh, it became longer. Okay. Anything else? Oh, and then what happened? You started thinking? Yes. 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 So we set the intention to pay attention to each breath. And it helps to make a quiet kind of determination to notice every breath. And just as you said, the mind skips off rather quickly. And the place where the mind tends to skip off is as the breath turns. You'll notice that when you breathe in, there's a still place. You're not breathing in, you're not breathing out. And at that moment is often where the mind runs away to something else, to yesterday, to tomorrow. We imagine, we remember, we regret, we fantasize, the mind skips to the future with anxiety. All kinds of things can happen in 3 minutes. And we need to see that the mind wanders through the fields of time. This is one of the things that happens. We very easily go to the past, and then there's of course memories and often regretting, or many people have quite difficult things that have happened in the past, and then that can come with also quite complex emotional feelings about somebody or something. The mind can fantasize and imagine and become anxious about what hasn't happened yet. Or we can be caught up in the present. We tend to commentate or evaluate or measure or analyze. So we see the movements of mind through time. But the good part is you noticed that you weren't paying attention. Okay? When did you notice? Before the bell or after? Oh, again and again and again. Beautiful. So this is lots of moments of awareness. The minute we notice that we've skipped off, that is a moment of awareness. That's the meditation, okay? Sometimes people report what's going on in the mind, thinking that they're doing the wrong thing, but it's actually really important to notice. So often in the beginning, we won't be particularly good at a sustained attention, so keeping on paying attention, but that's okay. We will think. It's important that you don't have the idea that meditation is not ever thinking. We have loads of thoughts a day, something like 70,000 at least, and I don't know who counted them, but that's what the world of psychology says. 70,000 thoughts a day, and most of them we've had before. They're the same old pattern, the same old thing, nothing creative really. Just thinking, 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 thinking. We have one thought, and then we have another thought about that, and then another thought about that. And then if we're lucky, we think, oh, I'm meant to be meditating. And we come back. This is very natural. It's important not to get upset about that and get distressed about it. So if you're sitting there thinking a lot, never mind, it's okay. Nobody knows. You just sit there like a Buddha. No, it really doesn't matter if you're sitting there thinking a lot, especially in the first day or so. We need to be at ease with the world of thought, not add another layer of pressure on the mind. Okay, did anyone actually notice that the breath was long or short? Anyone? Short, okay. Okay, so you just checked in and it was short. Was that a problem or not a problem, or you just noticed? Ah, so then you see the mind comes and says, oh, it's short. Why is that? What's going on? Okay, so it doesn't matter really whether it's long or short for this particular exercise. It's simply that we just understand whether it's long or short. Sometimes when the breath is rather short, if it's short and up quite high in the chest, it can be associated with some kind of anxiety, but not necessarily. Anyone else? What did you notice? Short or long? Was it easy to notice the breath? Yes. Yeah, short in, long out. Okay. This is all we were asked to do, just to check in and notice. It's really easy. We just see what's happening. So we have now done the first two instructions in this sutta. The next requires, I guess, a little more sustained attention. So when we do it, I would ask you just to sit really very still. And sometimes it helps if we just wait for the breath to come to us rather than run after the breath or move towards it with some kind of tension. What I've noticed when teaching people to meditate is that if we just sit rather still and then we just wait for the breath as if the breath is a caress or it just washes over us. If we just see it like that and then we can feel all the sensations that happen in the nostrils. Sometimes you feel your chest rising. And then there'll be this lovely stillness where we're not breathing in nor out. And then the chest falling, and then again the stillness before the next breath. And we just simply wait without expectation, with a sense of curiosity. And we wait just for the next breath. And we track and follow the path of the breath. Now, this instruction is translated in a couple of different ways by Pali scholars. Some of the translators say it's breathing in, experiencing the whole of the breath. And other translators say breathing in, experiencing the whole of the body. I tend to go with the whole of the body of breath, which is what Ajahn Buddhadasa, one of my teachers, it's the way that he taught it, and also a very famous translator in the Pali world is Bhikkhu Bodhi, and he translates it as the whole of the whole of the breath. So the entire breath. We're just breathing in, being aware of the entire breath. So we track all the sensations that occur as we breathe in, and then we feel the turning of the breath. And we are very sensitive to all of the sensations as we breathe out. Now, accompanying the breath may be tingling or tickling or heat or coolness, maybe warmth in the chest. There can be all kinds of sensations that accompany the breath. And when we are very sensitive, it seems as if the breath nourishes the cells in the body, that we can feel the breath down to the fingertips and right down to the toes. So maybe this is where the translation confusion comes in, because when we feel the breath, we feel it touch in a way the entire body when we're really being quite sensitive. So it's breathing in. And if you have sensations, to the bottom of the lungs, and then you might have sensations spread through the rest of the body. That's completely fine. You just track that as you breathe out. So the instruction is breathing in, experiencing the whole of the breath. Breathing out, experiencing the whole of the breath. Let's do it, please. So what happened? What did you discover when the intention was to track the whole of the breath, all the way in and all the way out? Yes. Ah. Yes. So sometimes when we're really paying attention, the breath seems very fine and light, as if it's, the word in English is imperceptible. We can barely feel it. At that moment, it's actually wise not to make the breath stronger so that it's easier, but to pay more attention to the really subtle sensations, the fine sensations, and very patiently waiting for the touch of the breath and waiting for any tickling or tingling or fine sensations that come with the breath. And if you can't feel much, you just still wait. And then as you breathe out, you're really waiting. And sometimes when the breath is really fine and light, there's beautiful, very pleasant sensations. And these are quite a doorway to the deep meditation states. So patient, fine, light, sensitive attention. Not struggling and pushing, but really, really light. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Yes, what did you feel when the breath? Yeah. What makes you think you're imagining it? Ah. Yes. Yes. Okay. So sometimes we have a perception of the breath rather than being really with the breath. We have an idea about the breath, and I think this is what you're talking about. It's a very important point. Sometimes we're not totally with the actual sensations of the breath, but we're rather more thinking about it, or we have an idea about it, or as you said, imagining the breath. There isn't any problem if that's how we're just starting, but one of the meanings of sati, which is the Pali for mindfulness, is to be very near, to be intimate with. So we're not actually standing back and analyzing the breath or thinking about the breathing. Instead, we're utterly and totally with the breath itself. So be patient. Well seen that you understood that there's a perception of the breathing that's happening rather than the direct experience itself. Just play a little with it and see what happens next. Be very patient, very very fine, light attention to what's happening, and see if you can feel the light sensations that come with it. Anyone else? Anyone be able to follow the breath all the way in and all the way out? Yes, there's a few nods. What was it like to do that? Anyone? Yes? Yeah? Yes? Okay, beautiful. Okay, so she said she was curious. She could feel the breath in the torso, and then she could feel it in the fingers. And then the idea, the thought arose. So when the thought arises, it's the I thought arises in the mind and says, oh, should I be feeling it here or should I be feeling it here? It does not matter where you feel it. It's simply to be with all the sensations that come with the breath. It's not as if one place is better than the other. It's as it is, just as it is for you. So sometimes we kind of question what's happening. We analyze what's happening. We interpret what's happening. what we're being asked to do is just be utterly with the breath, like so close to the breath that there's no distance, there's no meditator and meditation. There is just the, what we do is we construct the idea of the one who is breathing or the one who is meditating, the one who is thinking about the process. This is the self. This is the I thought. This is the me. So the goal is to be utterly with the sensations so directly that the self, the idea of the meditator, is not even formed. It's not constructed. So what we do is we put together the idea of I am meditating. Or in daily life we have the idea that life is happening to us, to me. And this, of course, solidifies the whole notion of self and I, me and my. And we tend to think we're the center of the world. Sorry, we are not. And we view life as if everything is happening to us. Yet when we start to look with the mind of a meditator, we can't actually find the self anywhere, because the self is formed through a bunch of sensations that are continually shifting and changing. So self is elusive. That means we can't find it. We don't know where it is, because it's shifting and changing. And when we stop grasping to this sense of self, to I, me and my, when we stop grasping there, then we know peace. Did anyone experience a sense of peace and calm with the meditation or not? It is the first night, it's okay. Sorry, did anybody experience a sense of peace or ease or... Yeah, okay. So if we just have a sense of ease with the meditation, it's kind of freeing, it's unproblematic. All we're doing, first of all, is simply being aware of the sensations. That's all. Let's just do one more of these. It's the final instruction in this section on mindfulness of breathing or mindfulness of the body. And this particular instruction, and I know that I'm rushing through them, we could spend a whole week just on one, but we have a short time, so I'm trying to give you a kind of flavour of the whole thing and what's possible and how to look at what's happening, how to see into it, because the practice itself actually reveals some things to us. We have lots of experiences, but often we don't understand what's going on. So in this instruction is, I shall breathe in, calming the body. I shall breathe out, calming the body. So we're paying attention to the breath, but we're just calming the body as we do it, as we breathe in and as we breathe out. So let's try it, if you would please. Breathing in, calming the body, breathing out, calming the body. Did anybody have a direct experience of calmness? Yes. Can you describe what happened, please? I can't hear. Okay. No, I can hear you now. Yes, at this place here, with all, yes, yes, yes. So being here with everybody, she said she meditates every day, but it's as if this place adds something. When we sit together, it's always much easier to deepen into stillness and calm. And so being here at Tovenaar adds something to it. Beautiful. And so there was a sense of calm. And I see gratitude. And with gratitude, of course, comes joy. And that's rather beautiful. Anyone else have a direct experience of calm? Yes. Okay. She said her head was going back and her cheeks became soft and there was a great sense of spaciousness. Space? Yes. Yes, so the cheeks became open as if they expanded, as if they were so soft. And we can have all kinds of experiences like this in our meditation where we get a sense of the body expanding or softness or openness. And the openness is often, you know, of the heart and the mind. There's an consciousness expands. And it's a rather beautiful, quite exquisite feeling when we look and we no longer just feel bound by the body, but we can touch something that's connected. So did you feel there was any separation between you and the outer? Yes. Yes, not yeah, not like stone, she said. But very soft, beautiful. Okay, so sometimes there's softness. Like air. Okay, yes. Yeah, like air, as soft as the air. And if we're as soft as the air, our tensions fade. If we're as soft as the air, there's nowhere for the mind to grasp. In the suttas, the Buddha talks about this. He says, have a mind like space where you can't hook anything, where the mind doesn't get caught up anywhere. And this experience is like that. It's softness. And with the softness, there's openness, there's a sense of air, a sense of lightness. It's a beautiful, exquisite, expansive feeling, just in a few moments when we pay attention. Anyone else? Another direct experience, yes. She felt breathing was calming her. Okay, she redirected the breath to her thigh where she had some tension. Yes, so something changed in the thigh? Yes. So this tells us that there's a way that we can use the mind to work with discomfort. Discomfort in the body, and we can bring release to areas of tension and pain by taking the attention inside the thigh, inside the body. So in this way, we can find some relief from our bodily pains. I mean, this is potentially kind of life-changing, really, if we learn that through just the breath and through the intention to soften and relax the body and calm the body, we can, the pain just subsides. The pain is overcome. The pain disappears. Very powerful. One more. I know it's late to be doing this, and some of you have traveled far and you're probably quite tired, but one more. A direct experience of some kind of calm or shift or the absence of calm. Yes. Ah, she said at the beginning when she was paying attention to the breath, she noticed she began to become anxious. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Ah, yeah, okay. Yes. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So at first there was anxiety. Then she said she took my advice, even better. And she was just patient. So rather than being caught up thinking about the anxiety, because when we add anxious thoughts to the anxiety itself, it gets worse. You were just patient, and suddenly the bell went. So the time had passed and you were calm. So in 3 minutes, she's gone from anxiety to calm. Bravo. It's extraordinary. And mindfulness of breathing is essentially used as it's what's called a shamatha practice. It's a practice for calm initially. Calm and, of course, insight, which is what we're also doing. So when we just breathe in and notice what's happening, when we're steady and patient, the attention actually rather naturally brings about calm. So there's the recipe for calm. Unbelievable, in 3 minutes. So, and she is not the only one to be able to do it. With a small bit of practice, many of you will be able to access a sense of calm. And if we can know calm, there's no suffering. So right in the calmness, everything problematic has ended right there. Did you not hear that? The Buddha's teachings are about discovering the end of suffering. And in something as simple as observing the breath, we can just see in a moment the calm. We can know it directly. We set the intention. We practice it. We do it. There's calm. When there is calm, there's no anxiety. When there is calm, there is the absence of suffering. As easy as that. So this is the practice. We practice, first of all, paying attention, and then we hopefully sustain the attention a little longer. And then we really notice and see what's happening to the body. We notice the direct experience. So in your meditations, tomorrow, first thing in the morning, in your practice, please take up one of these instructions, following the breath all the way in and all the way out, or breathing in, experiencing calm in the body, breathing out, experiencing calm. What we notice is The calm comes in the body, as we heard here about the absence of pain. But when the body is calm, the mind also calms, which we saw with the anxiety ending. So the instructions are kind of treasures, if you like. We can explore them, we can see what happens, and we can get to know ourselves. We can really start to deepen into the practice.